7 o'clock. So let's go ahead and begin. All right, so it's Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's April 8th, 2019, 7 o'clock. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Garcia?
Here.
Hedman?
Here.
LaChance?
Here.
Rodriguez is absent. Walter?
Here.
Chacon?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Dennis is absent. And Forrestal?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, so... let's see. So we have Jeanette, Cheryl, Daniel here.
Yeah.
For visitors. And are there any amendments to the agenda? If not, then everybody can take a look through last month's minutes, and then we'll approve them.
Make a motion, we approve the minutes as presented for the Finance Committee meeting of, when was that? March the 11th, and the regular board meeting minutes of March 11th.
Hedman?
Yes.
LaChance?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence?
Yes, we do. This one is from a student to Ms. Topper. Dear Ms. Topper, thank you for the stuff for the kids and adults. From Susie Durland.
And I did send her a note back and I made sure to print it so she could read it.
That's nice.
Very nice. Did you read these? We could just pass it around and just kind of summarize what it is.
All right. Okay, so we have from the Office of the Secretary of State, from Jesse White. We are being awarded the Illinois Public Library per capita grant in the amount of $21,151.25.
Woo!
All right, thank you. Okay, so I'll go ahead and pass this around. Okay, we have any public comment?
Yes, I do. This will be my last meeting. I am now retiring. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed it, but I'll be moving out of town. So I can't stay on board. Yeah. Let me anymore. But I want to thank all of you guys, and I think we have a great board and a great director. And great employees. And just keep it up.
1996 is when you came on?
No, 1992.
Wow. Holy smokes.
On behalf of the board and the staff, we thank you for your years of service. And we will donate a book in your honor to the library on a topic that you...
too light. Okay. So I'll talk to you about that. Okay. And these are for you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
We are.
Yeah, that's why I didn't call Russ when I was. I said, I'm not calling because I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to come and then it snows or the gallbladder starts or something happened. And I thought, well, this I'm not calling. I am too.
You'll be me.
I'll miss coming. But she said she's going to get me into McHenry's.
The director of McHenry. And it's a district library, not a municipal library.
I'm only kidding.
Expect a call from the mayor so he can present you with something, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. He has.
Oh, is that air conditioned? I'm going to have to get my coat. People, it's only 70 degrees.
Just put my name on that big sign you guys are going to do. That's all
you're you want to give us the 30,000?
I'll see you out there.
Do we have any staff comment? We have the report of the treasurer.
So I'm a little bit out of the loop. And I noticed that the percentages aren't what we're on the side anymore, so it's not easy to say what we're over and under budget on for how far we are in the year. Just saying. Elisa did say that she had to pay, and I signed a check for $1,200 for plumbing because there was a leak in the bathroom and then some other things. And so, you know, another day, another dollar. You guys see what I'm saying about the percentages missing?
Yeah, I see that.
It's terrible.
Is there a reason why?
I don't know.
Did they print it differently?
Yeah, looks like you got it.
Because we're so close to the end, there's just too much to put on there?
Could be.
I don't know. Someone put on there before, though.
I'll check the block.
All right. Yes. I mean, it looks like we're doing well in all the categories except for the ones that we expected, so.
Motion that we pay our bills in the amount of accounts payable $29,879.67, payroll for two payroll periods of $37,593.15 for a total of $67,472.82.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
LaChance?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Walter?
Yes.
Another report of the director?
Okay. I'm going to highlight a few of the comments from my report. As Susan said, we had the bill for Berry Plumbing. They came out for an emergency leak in this bathroom here. And then he discovered there was some other problems in the kitchen and another bathroom. So he came back a second time the following week and did the repairs. It was about $1,200. We had a special event here. It was the reptile program. It was a huge success. We had over 125 people here. I did include in your packet some of the pictures from the kids, including Jason's son. He had a wonderful time. Dave DiNasso was wonderful. He stayed well past the 4 o'clock time limit to stay with the kids and answer questions. And that's pretty much what I'm moving forward, more family-type programs, like Ice Cream Social, this type of program. So that was a big hit. We also had our staff day, where we had the second part of the first aid training, specifically CPR training. And that's also in your packet. There's pictures of the staff doing CPR on mannequins. I'm not going to say dummies. I'm going to say mannequins. And that went very well. The staff was really appreciative. They also got some training on how to use an AED. And the trainer was wonderful. We did have to pay $15 per person. We had 19 staff members here, and each person will get a certificate that they're certifying. So that was a very successful staff day, and I'd like to build on that.
Very happy to have been walked through the defibrillator and know what's in there, because we knew that it walked you through, but beyond that, we had no clue what to do with it. I think everybody's a lot more comfortable knowing that you're not going to do more damage at that point, that you need to get in there and do something. So I think that was really well worth it. I know I feel a lot better about that. Thank you for that.
And then I want to talk about patron problems that we've been experiencing over the last, I'd say, 2 months or so. I want to be careful the way I talk about this because it is on tape. We have a number of patrons from the PADS program. Majority are fine. Don't have a problem. We have a problem with one specific person and possibly another one. But basically what's happening is language in the parking lot that's offending patrons. And I'm always open to hear what patrons have to say. We had a problem with the one woman that we ended up trespassing after about a month, which we probably let it go maybe a week longer than it should have. But it was brutally cold. Didn't want to trespass her, but she has been trespassed and is not welcome here any longer. This person was using foul language at the entrance to the library on the outside. The patron was very upset. I spoke with the patron. I told her that as soon as she got in the car and drove away, that I would talk to the person. I told him whether he's inside the building or outside the building, this is library grounds, and he has to abide to the rules that we have. If he wants to drop the F-bomb, he can go across the street and do what he wants to do. As long as he's on these grounds, he cannot talk like that. No apology from the person. The other two people with him did apologize. And then we have another situation that involves more than possibly the same person. We caught the person doing a drug deal in our entrance, in the alcove, inside the doors. We had on camera. We called the police over. They saw it. But it's hard to prove what they're doing. Is he opening a box of what appears to be Altoids, and the person takes something and gives money? Looks very suspicious. So
Altoids is a big problem, I know.
And now we're finding that the same person has one person that drove up and you went to the car and did a transaction. So what I've discussed this with the police, we know that this person could possibly be violent, and that's why we're not trespassing, because we feel that there may be repercussions. So I've discussed it with the police, and I've had them come over and do walkthroughs so that he sees that we have the police here. The police have been wonderful. They've talked to me, and I've been in close contact with the department heads. But I can tell you that this has taken so much time, and it takes us away from our doing our work, and specifically me from doing my projects, and we're just worn out. We are just absolutely worn out. Now, the program ends April 19th. That's when the program is not, they're not dropped off here or picked up from here. It doesn't mean that they won't be here. So, I'm hoping that we wait till the 19th if the person continues to show up and I can catch him on something, whether he's using foul language. I think the other's hard to prove. Then I'm gonna have to trespass him, but I think we're going to have repercussions from it. And now we find that the cleaning people found drug paraphernalia in the choir reading room.
I have a question for you guys. Do you feel safe?
I was just going to say that. I feel like there's a good... No.
We had another incident with another person, not this person, the foul language drug dealer person, had another person was sitting in a chair in the morning, and another person came over, physically lifted him out of the chair, and put him in another chair. And he was so upset, he went to Jeanette. Jeanette brought him in to talk to me. I asked him what happened. He described everything. Then I asked if anybody else saw it. He said yes, so I asked the other woman to come and talk to me. She confirmed what happened. Went over to the person and asked him if he physically lifted him out of the chair, put him in the other chair, and he said yes. And I said, then you have to leave for the day. Because he was a regular and had not had a problem with him up to that point. So I said, you can leave on your own or have the police escort you out. And he left on his own. Then we found out within the next couple of days, because they go to Oswego if they're not here, that he had punched out one of the other PADS people and stole his phone, so that he got arrested.
I have a question. The rules, as far as how it goes with the actual PADS program, because I know this year has been kind of too many issues going on. As far as the PADS program, what are their rules as far as what they do if something kind of happens when they come here?
Well, I have to say that Cheryl's been in close contact with Ann, the executive director there. And one of our other staff members, Cheryl Knox, is a volunteer at PADS. So we've had close contact
and
there.
And what is their feedback on?
If they break the rules there, they're kicked out. I mean,
right, but there are no repercussions for what happens in public. That's, they're outside. Uh-huh. But we have been in close contact with Ann, so she gives us a heads up if something might be happening, and we give her a heads up if somebody got in a fight and they're heading over there. So we're working as closely as we possibly can with them to keep an eye on
it. I just want the board to be aware of what's going on here and as a staff, what we're dealing with.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you have the close connection with the police department and that they are coming in.
And also the department heads, whenever an incident happens, we get together and meet as a group and we talk things out.
And we have the panic buttons now, so anything gets to that point, that is available. But I think I feel more, I'm sorry that you guys have to go through it, but I'm glad to know that there is connection with the police department doing the walkthroughs, letting them know that we have visibility of the police department.
And when the walkthroughs happen, the person that's in question gets very edgy.
Of course.
So the PADS, just so I understand, they drop them off here after... What's
they do not, it's a rotating schedule with churches in the area.
Okay.
So there are different churches at different times, different pickup points on different days. So we are a pickup point Tuesday and Thursday night at 6:30 for them to gather here to be picked up by the bus. Mm-hmm. However, there's a walkable pickup point or a walkable church Monday and Wednesday night, so then people are also coming here during the day to spend the day and then walking over. They used to be at McDonald's for whatever amount of time, that McDonald's is now cut down to and said they can be there for 2 hours. So that's kind of changed how long people are spending here during the day.
I'm almost thinking, I know that it's they drop them off and it's a program, but I kind of feel like there should be some kind of guidelines that they should have to abide by if it's a program from within the past.
I feel like, there are. You can't do drug deals.
Right.
Like,
but they can't prove it, though.
Yeah.
They can't prove it.
We're not the ones that have to prove it.
But how do you prove that it wasn't
selling an
Altoid?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're very bold, though, that they would actually do that.
I know, right? Like,
at,
right in the library doors.
Like,
wow. That's bold.
Well, April 19th, I hope that we don't have anything else before April 19th. I commend you guys for doing an excellent job of dealing with them, and hope they even get through the next week or so.
So when's the program start back up?
October.
And how often is this something that you set up with the police department for them to come over, or they just?
I call.
So is it something that they do? They come over at all? Or you just call?
It's when
them?
I call.
Okay.
Now the one time we had the situation with the woman that was found out, they did come out. Like six of them came out at once and sort of elevated the situation.
Okay.
But the last time when I called, it was two of the detectives. They came over within 3 minutes. And they were willing to talk to the person, which, I explained that from talking to the managers that we felt that knowing his personality that there would be repercussions.
So I'm almost thinking since you have the relationship with them, preparing for the next time, if we can,
I talked to Chief Hart about the other woman, and he said the trespasser, which probably went a week or two longer, but the weather was so brutal, cold, that...
If we could have an arrangement with the police,
yes,
just to do a walkthrough on days that they know they'd be here, just
exactly.
as a patrol.
Well, we're hoping the person in question doesn't come back.
But then you don't know who's coming back.
Yeah, but there could
but
be
anyway. On the other hand, what we've got to be aware of, the patrons see it too, and
right.
they go,
mm-hmm.
"What's going on?"
Exactly.
So
maybe we can have some type of. You have your connection with the chief, like you said, like I was saying. And when we prepare for the October, maybe we can have some type of arrangement or something with them that on the days that they're dropped off. Somebody does a walk through, I don't know, something they can.
I would say the majority of the past people aren't a problem for us. It's just that percentage, the other percent, is what's.
Well, continue to use your resources as needed. That's what I would say. Until the next
and
class.
I always take another manager with me when I go to.
Yes,
deal
of course.
And to keep my distance. So.
Thank you. Thank you again.
I need to hurry up and see that movie.
The movie? Thanks, Womack, for that lead-in. It started April 5th. It's playing in North Aurora.
At the Tinsels.
Yeah. And I have been in touch with the movie theater group about, I think I'm going to wait until it comes out in video and use it as a staff training. In September, and then have someone from PADS or someone come and talk about that afterwards.
Yes.
So the movie is excellent. I don't think it's going to be around a long time, so I'd say probably for the next week or two, go and see it. It's very well done. Womack, don't you agree?
I do. It's funny that the movie just came out and we're talking about this problem because... one of the reasons I think Elise is being so smart about it is because, like in the movie, they have somebody sue the library and sue because you know, homelessness doesn't mean you don't have rights.
Right.
You know, that's true. To assume you're guilty of things without,
without
proper evidence and proof.
Yes.
And so you have to really be mindful of that.
Yes.
Like,
Deerfield Public Library got sued.
Yes.
By homeless.
Well, I think you're doing a good job. So, yeah.
And just to put it in perspective, the other people that are not a problem whatsoever, we have
right.
a great relationship with
mm-hmm.
those people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we care about those people. We know
yes.
them. We
Is this some of the
conversations?
Is this your best
this year, yeah.
Well, last year we had the gentleman that died in the river that we found.
All of our cats, individuals have been new this year. There's
okay.
no one
yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. We know them by name and we talk to them. So it's not, I mean,
it's just
they're here every, you know, pretty much
okay.
a lot. But I wanted the board to be aware of what we're dealing with and that it's taking away time from our other work.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend the staff for,
yes,
for dealing with all this. And they remind me that that was one of the interview questions.
That was
a three
piece.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Let's see. No city liaison. There were no standing committees that met. Unfinished business. Update on Boy Scout project.
Hello. Nice
Hello.
To see you all again. It's been a while. And hopefully everyone has a copy. It appears there's an extra over there.
Thank you.
I was going to say there's one there. But there were, so what I have provided to you is a bit of the project plan. However, there were some technical difficulties printing, so the entirety of the project plan has not been provided. However, most of the important bits have been there, are there, I have them separately, but what else? I have gotten all the signatures that I have needed, so the proposal has been approved, and I'm going to start fundraising, contacting business, gathering materials, which will be done off-site. The only thing that will be done on-site, again, at the library, will be implementing the instruments, which you can see the designs for at the back, the chalkboard, which I have previously talked about, and bringing in the benches. So most of the work will be done off-site, and most of it just revolves around me working with Mrs. Jeanette, who is the representative, and my project coach. However, I would like to talk with all of you and get some, any more, anything else you wanted to say, or anything else you wanted to add, comment about it, or if you have any questions still, feel free to ask.
Do we have a first aid kit with you, or do we need to have one
there? We will bring a first aid kit. However, it would not be bad to have two.
So you're going to start fundraising. When will you actually start building?
The plan is in May to do the construction, and that will be not here. That will be at home, hopefully on one of the weekends when I'm available and added in stuff. And then on the first weekend of summer, in June, that's when we hope to, I think the day is June 1st, is that first Saturday? Very convenient to remember. But that we will be coming here and bringing everything, and hopefully that will be the end of it. And in June, I will see you guys again and say that the project is done, hopefully. That is the plan. Of course, if weather intervenes, there's still one more weekend before I'm with you guys. So hopefully, still it'll be good.
Daniel, are you fundraising for money or for materials or both?
For both. So I will be contacting businesses and asking for donations, whether monetary or material, or discounts on buying materials.
So a place like Culver, you'd be asking for a monetary contribution?
Or also for food.
Oh, good point.
Okay. Volunteers do like to eat.
Teenage boys like to eat.
Oh.
And that'll be the volunteers, the scouts in my troop.
Mm-hmm.
So your goal is to have the installation done by our June meeting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do have some reminders. I know I met with the physical facilities committee, I believe it is called, and there I know that we had discussed the library would be removing one of the metal benches and pulling out the big metal table. The library would be happy to do that as well. And remember there was some discussion about whether or not to remove certain bushes, because there was divided opinions on, if I recall, which bushes should go and which ones should stay.
That was during the facilities meeting?
Yes. I don't recall if it was discussed at the board meeting immediately after.
I don't know anything about it. Was just. So
I guess
that would be the facilities.
I'm trying to remember what discussed. Okay,
that was a good one. I was trying to submit.
A lot has happened since then. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah. Oh, my mom took notes about it, so.
Perhaps. Who knows? Maybe he has some concerns about the wind or something. I don't remember.
Jeanette says that the shrubs on the west end will remain. There will be pots for greenery and a chalkboard with benches now.
With my knowledge of currently how...
We're going to move the bench on the outside so that people walking through the park can sit. So that bench will be moved outside the area.
Okay.
The city said they would do that.
Oh, I was going to say,
right. How quickly is another issue, because it has to be worked into their schedule.
I would ask them to get it on their schedule as soon as they can.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing is with Julie. When do I contact them? You need to let me know a week before.
All right, I can look into that and see when you would need to contact Julie. And then from there, that'll just be the library down with Julie from there, as far as I know.
Okay.
Great.
Anything
else? And there was one change that I would say is slightly substantial, that it's no longer going to be a backer board for the chalkboard, but rather just using hardwood and using chalkboard paint. So it'll be a lot lighter, and hopefully a lot easier, but it might need to be maintained more often. That is the downside.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. All right.
That is all?
Okay, thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Good luck. Thank you. You will get some press when you are finished with it. You get some media press. That'd be fantastic.
Now, we move on to approving the budget.
I did talk to Rob about the budget, and he said that the cost of living increase is incorporated into this budget, so that when it is approved, that includes the increase, the staff increase, which is part of that. And that has the
another page for some reason.
Oh, God. This air conditioner is not helping. Okay. I'm like seriously feeling like somebody drugged me up to
time. Do you want to move over on this side?
I'll turn it up. It's at 72.
Look what you found.
Some of the changes are highlighted, some aren't, but...
With a deficit of...
Travel and conferences.
Yes.
But that didn't get highlighted.
Working out of 43, that was
travel conferences. Remember we talked about travel and conferences and then the lodging?
Mm-hmm.
So make sure there was money for ALA. That's what didn't get highlighted.
Projector, the proposed...
But it's in there.
Includes a $43,000
also,
deficit.
Also, postage is going to go up again. Didn't we
up that one or no?
We got $7.50.
Yeah.
We did do postage,
right?
And computer equipment and software? Was that updating what we have or this new stuff we're getting? So what we have?
That's all coming out of development fees, right?
Yeah. It just says on here $2,000 for computer equipment and
yeah.
Software.
Most of the computer equipment and software we've been getting out of development fees for the last many years.
Is that why it was so low before?
Yeah.
Okay. So is it no longer going to be, or we're just going to use some?
They're just going to keep some in there in the regular budget,
okay.
Until we run out of development fees of money. Yeah.
Kind of like I remember us talking about books, even though it's low budget, if we buy them with other money.
Right, we buy the books with the development fees.
So our proposed budget will be 25 under?
Proposed budget will be, you have a deficit of $43,594.
43?
Page 3.
Oh, okay. I was looking at page 4. That's library cap.
I'll make a motion that this would be the revenue. This would be the expenditures on with a $43,000. So I'll make a motion that we approve the budget as presented with a total revenue of $1,576,751 projected dollars, and total expenditure, projected expenditures of $1,620,245 with a deficit of $43,594. $1,620,345. I think I misspoke.
Yes. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
And LaChance?
Yes.
Do we have update on the electrical work?
Yes. I think I reported last month that we had the contractor come in, the independent contractor come out, electrical contractor, and did the test on the breaker. He did an adjustment to the breaker and identified that it was not a problem, that it was a Commonwealth Edison problem. So then ComEd came out. Person's name was Charlie Stanford. He's a distribution field engineer. He placed a recorder on the transformer. It was there for a week. He picked it up and did the readings and identified that everything looks fine. Voltage looked fine, generally between 280 and 290. Said nominal voltage is 277. And we haven't had any problems since. So whether it was the breaker adjustment that solved it, or we don't know.
Or them finishing up construction down on 34.
Oh, that way. So, I mean, it was three times in a week. We were able to identify when the outages were based on the alarm system. So contacting the alarm company, they were able to give me the dates and the times. That's good.
Library, next steps.
I've asked Cheryl Lewonski, who not only is our staff member, but is the president of the Arts Guild, to come and give an update on where we are and what steps need to happen.
Okay, so we are closing in on funding. I'm hoping that our next fundraiser, which we'll get passed on the flyer, so there it is. Hopefully, maybe join us, and I also have some reminder cards. So thank you very much. If anybody wants to take any of these to pass out to anyone you know who might be interested. So we're partnering with Salsa Verde to do a 28% back fundraiser on April 26th. So all day between 11 and 9, if you eat there and mention the library mural or the Kendall Arts Guild, 20% of the mural will go back. So we've had a lot of people passing out the reminders and the flyers for us, and we're hoping to have a decent showing. I don't know if that's going to be enough to push us over the edge of fundraising, but it's going to get us closer.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the next steps that we need to take then is to decide what's going to be in the mural, what authors we want. And I think Elisa was thinking we could ask for a committee.
What I was thinking is the best way to bridge it between both organizations is to have a committee to work it out and
decisions, and then bring it back to the
two boards. Okay.
Mural
committee. Well, first of all,
yes.
You?
Me?
Yeah. Okay. Would you be in?
Sure.
No, any more committees?
No more? Okay. Russ?
I can. I'll do my best.
We're going to do our best.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else? You're the president.
I'll be there. Okay.
I'll be there. Carol, you want to be there?
Do you want to be on the...
We have to
Mural.
Have to post
mural.
It.
But when?
Oh, we don't know. They're setting up a committee.
Because they'll have our people to write.
Yeah. So we have to post it. Well, we have to post it at the committee, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's two people, you don't have to.
Yeah, but it's three right there. Mm-hmm.
Is it just us, or is it also with the
also?
Our
it's also.
I need to get somebody to represent the guild, and then I'd also like to bring the artist in as well.
So if we use two board members and myself,
let's keep it at two.
Then we don't have to post it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. You, so relax, Russ.
Mm-hmm. So is it Darren and Barrett?
I can be a backup.
Okay.
Somebody
right.
can't
Sounds
make
good.
It.
All right.
Darren here. There. So you will let us
know. I will get back with you. I just
don't know. If we have a meeting here, just let me know. We'll book the room.
Okay.
This is the update on the strategic plan on where we are.
Thank you.
Until May. Sometime in May. So we need to get the wireless up to speed before we can start.
I was trying to say, is that part of one of the things? Because I actually used one of the library's computers the other day, and
It's slow.
I almost wanted to say.
I mean, you're using one of the desktops?
No.
The public computers. Those aren't on wireless, right?
No, they're not.
Why is it so slow, though?
Well, we don't have I want to say we probably have about a 75 meg connection.
Oh, okay.
We probably want to.
So it's not like 100 gigabit, right?
No.
Okay. No.
Maybe we could pair off of Fermilab. Or the high school. They've got gig fiber over there.
Oh, boy.
Okay. We may, when it comes around to E-rate time, we may want to put that out as a bid item to see what we can get.
I think so.
For how much.
Because I'm sure...
When is the E-rate time? What's our window on that?
Pardon?
What's our window?
Our E-rate consultant will ask me.
Do we know when we were last asked?
I believe it's sometime in June that he has to put out the 471 form, I believe it is. And I'll send him an email. I'll send David an email and say, when do we need to do this?
Because I'm sure if I felt that way, I can imagine how some of the pages that use it feel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's a problem.
The other thing we can do is, as we look at wireless equipment, you can set, and this is one of the things where we might want to watch out with Ubiquiti, with some equipment, you can set limits so that any wireless device... So the big problem in facilities like this with public Wi-Fi is people can grab as much bandwidth as they want. Right. So I can sit up in a break room and stream Netflix, and that's going to slow everybody down.
Right.
Certain wireless equipment, you can set bandwidth limits per device. So saying you can do whatever you want as long as you don't use more than 5 meg of the connection.
But it makes the speed to be able to use it at a normal speed.
Yeah, so as we look at solving the issue, one of the things we want to make sure and do is that we can put limits on per device so somebody can't soak up that whole connection.
That's a good idea.
It will help us stretch that bandwidth amount we have further so that we won't necessarily need as big of a pipe, because if I bring in my laptop and I want to fire up Netflix, I could use our whole connection.
Right. Good point.
So I think that would be an opportunity just to make sure we evaluate the equipment we want to use as part of the Wi-Fi project. The other thing is that would be all of developmental funds, right? That we could do that project through?
Probably. Unless we want to E-rate that, and then it's got to go out to bid.
No. Yeah.
But then we rely on the development funds for the books.
Yep.
Very heavily for the books.
But we carried over. Here, let's go over.
We don't know the development funds for the following month by month.
Right, I was looking at the fiscal year.
Ooh, this is tiny.
H2,
library fee, development fee.
H2?
It's at the bottom. Okay. Is it called development fees? Library capital revenues?
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
No. Not the month. I was looking for the budget. Yeah. Library capital fund, page 4. So if we had a fund surplus in 2018 of 38,000,
right?
38,538?
That number?
A fund surplus in 2019 of projected 35,000. So, I mean, the past 2 years we've carried over, between 30,000 and 40,000 in development funds. So, I mean, if we were to.
I don't know what the future on.
Okay, so we're on the budget, page 4. It's titled Library Capital.
Oh, budget, page 4.
Yeah, so it's the fourth to last page of the thing.
So what were you saying about the...
So, I mean, we're putting money away in the development fund, which is good. But the past 3 years, we've netted positive in that. So if we feel wireless is a good opportunity to bring in programming and to enhance our services, I mean, I know we're showing a proposed $25,000 negative, but what's coming out of that? Is that the supplies? So our fund, it's the permit fees that are... I mean, I think it's safe to say that if in 2018 we were at $100,000 in permit fees and 2019 we're at $110,000, I think the $50,000 is probably a little on the low side, unless something significant were to reduce the amount of fees that the city would bring in. Mm-hmm. There's probably funds there for us to look at. And this is something that we could even continue to look at throughout this year, because we can see as those funds are coming in where we're projecting. So if we hit a point this year where our license and permit fees are kind of in line with where they have been, we'll know we'll have extra money in that fund if we want to do the project, even though it's not necessarily budgeted for. Right?
Yeah. The advantage of doing an E-rate, even though it is a pain in the butt, we get 50% of the money we spend back. So if we spend $50,000, we get $25,000 back.
So
it's got to go out to bid.
Is there anything that prevents us from bidding it for E-rate and deciding not to do it that way?
No. We would have to go do it ourselves.
Right.
I mean, price it out ourselves.
Right.
And if it's over $25,000, we'd have to bid it anyway.
For a building like this, I think we could probably keep it under that.
So... are we going to have to wire, though? Because
right. We were discussing adding more wiring, especially in this building.
But, I mean, low-voltage wiring doesn't need beam conduit.
No.
I mean, it's the cost of pulling wire is
right.
Manageable, especially if you get it right.
And that would help us increase the speed.
Well, it would help us manage the Wi-Fi better,
depending
on the equipment we selected. Because right now what's happening is, A, we have a 75-meg connection, but B, depending on who's in the building and what they're doing, anybody can utilize that. So just because you're on a desktop computer, you're not on the wireless. They're sharing the same internet pipe. So, but if somebody is up streaming Netflix or listening to music or whatnot, that's going to slow every computer here we have down.
We even may consider... splitting it into two connections.
You can, yeah.
Split one for the public, one for everybody, one for the library.
Yeah.
So that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Work.
Either way, I mean, you can put. Here's the problem, though, is if you don't put bandwidth limits per device, then if somebody soaks up the patron connection.
No, I still say
it's
that.
Problem.
That's important.
But that's different from, like, in our school, you even have three, because there's a staff one.
Uh-huh.
There's everything. There's library use, so like the laptops for your classes and all your desktops. I mean, like your patron desktops. Completely different from your open Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So that they still don't... So if somebody steals up the Wi-Fi bandwidth, so be it. Trying to figure out limits for each person. Because we all understand that about Wi-Fi, like when we go in a place, if a bunch of people are all using Wi-Fi, but it won't affect the depth, like you get on a library computer,
mm-hmm.
that would still function great, and any work computer
mm-hmm.
could still function great.
That would be nice for programming.
Right, and then Wi-Fi is just Wi-Fi.
When we're doing the coding programs.
Mm-hmm. Right, you need those to be good.
Yeah,
it's like...
And sometimes you need those to be differently secured than staff ones even, so it's good to have.
And there's different ways and points that that gets managed. I mean, not to go into complete detail, but you can allocate and segment out the wireless network. But our issue here, too, is it would still go back to the same pipe that comes into the building for internet. So we then have to partition that out based on like the business computers and the resident computers. Or you can, you know, bring in a separate pipe just for the guest network. I mean, basically, we probably just want to review how the network is structured, how our equipment is structured.
Two or three pipes, but then we definitely need to upgrade the rate.
Okay, so that's going to be something that we look towards for one of our, I guess.
Yeah, so I think next month when we're talking about our goals for this year, probably just reevaluate our infrastructure and design. And Russ, I mean, I think if we have an opportunity to bid it out for E-Rate, I don't see why we wouldn't. At least throw it out there and see what it comes back as.
Perfect.
But I think if we watch our fund balance for our development funds, we'll get an idea of how much money we'll have in there and whether or not we have the overhead to be able to take care of that this year.
Sounds pretty cool. Okay, thank you. Your expertise. On to the business.
Okay. Approved resolution. Okay. Let's see. Approved a new business. So approved resolution, non-resident fee.
We do this every year. It's just
a
resolution that has to be passed.
It says we're going to participate and we're going to do it based on the tax bill method.
Oh, okay, yes.
It's listed under section one.
Did you point out the missing E on whereas? One, two, three, four, fourth one down.
Number four?
Yeah.
One, two,
maybe another three.
Whereas.
Oh, whereas.
No, that was whereas.
Whereas.
One, two, three, four.
That's
whereas.
From the attorney's office. I didn't type
that. That extra view would have cost us.
Probably a full hour.
Pencil it in. I now have it in a Word document because I'm not paying $250 for an expensive.
Yeah.
To do this.
Mm-hmm. All right. I make a motion that we approve resolution. Annual resolution authorizing non-resident library cards. We have a roll call, please.
I think somebody's got a second at first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Second.
It's okay. Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
LaChance?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Digital library sign preliminary information.
Coming along, I did get in touch with the city because there are ordinances that have to be followed, regulations for digital signs. So I finally got that information from their office. I have one quote from Parvin Kloss Company in Carroll Spring. They came out immediately and looked at what we have, gave me two quotes, one using what we have now, and one building, and he's working with the wiring we have and building off of that. Their quote's between $18,000 to $24,000, realizing that if it's over 25, that he has to fill out the bid. I did get in touch with the city administrator for Sugar Grove because I drive by their sign every day, and I like their sign. And he got back to me. Their company was Aurora Sign Company. Mm. And they're coming out Thursday to meet with me and get the information. They also did the sign for the school.
Do you know who did
it? What was the other name? Company, sorry.
Parvin Klaus, Klauss. They're at Carroll Stream.
Okay.
And Aurora Sign Company is coming Thursday. I did send it out on the director's listserv to see what feedback I would get back. I only got one person responding. sent it out on the rails. Listserv got no responses.
Do you know who did the one for Oswego Library? Because they got a very, they got a nice library, nice sign.
I haven't, not yet. I'm still gathering the information. Yeah. I will, by next month, I will have all the information together. Okay. I don't know if you want me, I'll bring it to the board and then decide whether it goes to Fiscal Facility Committee or not. I'm still gathering the information. I also have a phone call on, well, not phone call, but some correspondence. I may have another organization that might be interested in partnering with us. So I would like to see where we can go with that. Might be able to have them split the cost with us.
Sounds good.
So I will have more information for next month's meeting. So I'm still gathering. I'd like to get a couple more companies out.
Thank you.
But we have to go by the city regulations as well. Learning a lot. So that's where we are with this sign. Now, the disaster plan is, I think it's in pretty good shape. Yes, I have the, this is, I think it's more than a draft. I also included in here a section on active shooters with guidelines and some information I gathered. Also included a map that Dixie did with where the fire extinguishers are. And we have the updated directory for the staff, the city, the board. And the reality is, well, what will happen is each manager will have a copy of this at home. Mm-hmm. And the board can have a copy. But if there's a problem here, I will also have it on online on the drive, the step up. Our shared drawing. But this is step by step. What do we do if there's a fire? What do we do if there's a flood? Step by step, what we need to do. But the most important part of this is the phone numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's all been updated. I did miss two phone numbers on here, so I'll make sure that's added in. But I'd like to pass this out. And I wanted to thank one of the staff members who helped key in the document. He works in CERC and giving her a couple extra hours a week to help.
You can frame this.
That's okay. Well, thank you.
And it's National Library Week this week, so new cookies.
Thank you. It's keeping me awake. I need it. I just grabbed that one, Daniel, for the chocolate. Just keep it.
Do they have nuts?
I thought I was.
Are you allergic?
Like, great, we'll find out in a couple minutes whether it is nuts.
Are you allergic?
Here's my nuts.
I guess you can't show them on the scalp
today. We got CPR.
We have CPR training.
We're good. We got this.
Yes. Shall we do that?
Do you have are there sirens in the library that if there's a tornado outside, does the city activate anything inside?
Not inside the building. They're outside.
You can hear it.
You can hear it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only right up the block.
Yeah, and you can tell by all the people running from the softball fields into the library.
Yeah. That's just activated. They take her on top of City Hall.
Okay.
Oh, you brought the whole tray over here, terrible.
We want to keep you awake.
I drove my team to Kentucky Saturday morning and drove back yesterday and taught 8th grade today. I need sleep bad.
Oh my God. How'd you guys do?
Qualified for nationals. So they said,
congratulations.
We think you might need to take a minibus. I said, you want me to drive 13 hours to New Jersey? Oh, sweet Jesus, no. So that's my reward. I'm going to have to drive more.
You know, maybe if you haven't prepared them so well.
I'm the sponsor. The varsity coach prepared them well. I'm the driver, organizer, money lady.
I actually like the part about reading wet books.
So is the insurance company the one with one of the numbers?
Oh, hard. This is the city of Alcon.
Our insurance
company. The city
of Alcon. Way ahead, you guys.
A hard group to pull in for programs. So I wanted Jeanette to do an overview of what she does in the department, and then a discussion as to what is considered an activity and what is considered a program. Because she's doing a lot of activities, but I'm not sure that that's a program that's reviewed by the board. So before we start planning, you know, to meet the goal, I wanted to get some direction. So and I have to say Jeanette does a terrific job. I want the board to understand that we only have Jeanette, we have Brittany and Katrina that work 10 to 4, Monday through Friday. We have Jessica that works at night from 4 to 7. We have Robin that works 4 to 7. Am I missing anybody?
Karina.
Karina only works on Saturdays. And staff alternate on Sunday 1 to 4. So for the amount of programs and activities and the work that's done with the youth in that department, we don't have a big staff. I mean, Jeanette does, I would say, 70-80% of the programs. So, I'm going to turn it over, and she does a terrific job. So, I want Jeanette to give an overview and then to get some direction from the board and some decision. What's the difference between an activity and what's the difference in a program so that we can plan for the second year?
Well, my teen programs vary. So I started with TAG, which is our teen advisory group. That's grown to 9 members this year, which last year it was 2 to 3. So that has grown significantly. Those kids show up and they interact and they do whatever is asked of them. Great, great group of kids. So we are putting in place different programs, and I'm utilizing TAG to find out what the teens actually want. So I've asked them and I've begged them to give me feedback in regards to that. They've very clearly stated that after a school day, they don't want to come here and have somebody speak at them even more. They want to come and unwind, relax, do something that is not
school-related,
that you have to put a whole lot of effort into. they're looking to unwind. So I did a team game day. I had 7 kids. We played spoons. We laughed hysterically. We just had a blast. And it wasn't my normal TAG kids. There were kids that had come over specifically for that game day. And we had fun. So we're looking at the interview program, the balance of the budget, and then the 4-H. We had 4-H in here over spring break, and they provided opportunities for ages 8 through 18. And we had several high school kids that came and participated within that coding program, and they did it was like a makey-makey type of program, so coding. Fit and Shell, that's the big one that we're putting forth right now. We were very fortunate to have Frank Bottas come in, and he shared his beliefs and what he chooses to do as far as programming and with our teens. And we developed quite a program between the two of us. So he's doing a 4-week session in April. A 4-week session in April. And he's going to focus on being fit and what that looks like, and then the breathing techniques, and then how to manage yourself and your body through positive moments and positive interactions to reduce stress, to help these kids get through the day and get through the trying times that they're dealing with.
And we split the cost with the friends. So the friends pay for half and the library pays for the other half.
And then I've expanded on what he's doing, and I'm providing a 4-week session for our teens also. So that's the chill part. So I got the easy end of this fit and chill thing.
Mondays 3:15 to 4:15, and Jeanette does Thursdays 3:15 to 4:15.
So what I'm providing those kids is the opportunity to find what works for them, what tools and what strategies they can use to get through those challenging times that those kids are experiencing. So we are looking, we're doing meditation, yoga, breathing, exercise. We're going to be making journals. We did some adult coloring, which they thought was awesome. So we're trying to figure out what's working best for that particular kid. We've had everywhere from, let's see, 2 to 7 kids participating. So, and I know today we only had 2, but tomorrow is the PSAT and the SAT, yes. And I heard a lot about that. So that was poor planning on my part and not thinking about what other things.
So hard. There's always something at the school.
Jeanette has an email that she got. Is that from today?
It is from today.
And I want you to read them.
I'm a student.
Yes. Oh, that's my daughter. Let's get rid of her.
James.
That was on the inside. Now, one of the girls came to my chill part of my programming, and so we were sitting there talking, and I had the opportunity to share with the kids that were there for my program how impressed I was that Frank had come in, and what an amazing, inspirational individual he is. And
he also does the program at the Park District where he charges.
Okay.
And the girls and the boy that were there were really excited about having the opportunity to meet him. And one of the girls that came today, this is afterwards, she texted me and said, "Hi, Jeanette, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for creating this program and having it available for us teens. I loved today's session, and I'm so happy that I came and got to meet Frank. Like you said, he is an amazing guy and someone that will change my life and how I look at things. So thank you again, and I really appreciate it."
That's nice.
Excellent.
That's really
good. Perfect. They've been contacted from another library. Sheridan contacted us and has been in contact. It will be, I did send it in to American Libraries, and I'm hoping that once this is finished that we can either do a program at a conference or, mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers aren't huge yet, but the people that are coming are getting something. They're not getting it in school.
Right.
They're not getting this sort of thing at school. Which also raises the question, is this what we do? We're a community resource. We provide this, but is that our mission?
Right.
So, I mean, it's community resource.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah.
So she's going to ask us.
And we are providing teens program or passive opportunities within the YA department. We just recently rearranged YA. If you get a chance to look at it, I'm so impressed.
Oh, really? Okay.
We shifted things around a little bit. It's more user-friendly. And the first day we did it, we had teens scattered throughout that department. And we do have several teens coming over and utilizing the space that we've provided. And we do interactive displays with them and within that area all the time as far as the YA read and return, the window art. We're doing
teen tech.
We did a teen tech week. Right now we're focusing on poetry. And we did a QR code generator for movies versus books kind of thing. So we're trying to provide them those opportunities. They don't always embrace them or take them, but they are there, and the kids are coming in. But as far as these type of activities, what else are you expecting to see or wanting to see? And then my question is what's the overall goal for those teens? What are your expectations for the teens? Is it to get more people in here, more teens in here, or is it to provide more or different programming? What is that? So I at least have a better understanding as to what direction I need to go moving forward.
That was one of our goals.
Teens, just wanting to, when we looked at our calendar, we saw a lot of programming. Like you could see things planned out for little kids and for adults, and then there wouldn't be anything. Just if you were to look at a calendar, say you moved to your room, like I wonder what they have for kids, my kids, and then there's little kids, there's adults, book clubs and stuff like that, and then you didn't always see teen stuff on the calendar. You know what I mean? Like, even though there are teens in here and doing stuff, if you're looking from the outside in, that's not something visible. And sometimes you have to just make sure that your stuff is visible, you know? You have to advertise what you're doing. You know you're doing it, but if the public doesn't know you're doing it, it's perception, you know? It doesn't seem like anything's happening.
So as far as, like, our TAG program that we've put in place, that's what you...
I think TAG is awesome. Like,
I think TAG's awesome.
You know, we call it a library committee. It's so, they love having a purpose. Like,
yes.
I think every school has able-bodied children should use something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some of the elementary schools do too, like in the libraries, they have them help. And they always come to the middle school like, I helped in my last library. I can help people. Like, they really do like that. I think that's good. And then those kids are more plugged in. I find like you have the really good kids in TAG, so they're not always plugged into the other kinds of kids we're trying to reach sometimes, because they're more likely to be
do-gooders
if they're here and volunteering their time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and we do see lots of different teenagers.
Yeah, so I know lots of different teenagers use the library, I know, because some of them are on my step team, I know, I was like, I don't know what to tell you, practice doesn't start till 4, go to the library, it's open.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, they don't like us in there. I was like, I don't know what to tell you. It's open. The library.
At least now we have a budget though for teens.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think a third of the money from the 2000 will go for teens. A third to the kids. And to adults.
They like
They really don't like over the top programs.
Right.
They like stuff where they get to come, chill,
and just relax.
And
what you're
eat.
Doing that fit in you. I think that's something that they, it's just going to be something that you can probably grow into.
Well, it's an expensive program.
I was going to say, that one's hard. It's like she said, not a lot of kids are going to come. The kids that come are going to really get a lot out of it. But we've tried that kind of stuff too. And it's hard because our kids are either at a sport or they don't have transportation here. The kids who probably would love to be there. Maybe that's a good middle school age program too, but they don't have a chance to get here from school.
Well, and that's why we pushed it back to that 3:15 time slot, as to hope that those kids would have at least the opportunity, if they wanted to come, that they would have that opportunity. So then,
but they can't because of transportation.
Well, and we truly tried to
include
them in this. So it was very important to us.
I think it's good what you're doing to start. That's a good program.
Mm-hmm.
That's a program because I mean, you're building something with it.
So is cards for kids where the kids are coming in and they're making the cards to send to the hospital? Do you count that as a program? You count that as an activity? Because Jeanette's doing that now.
How often do you do that?
I do it once a quarter. I get about 30 kids. I invite the National Honor Society kids, anybody who needs community service hours, I invite all of those. I have certain teachers that I contact in regards to that, and I typically get between 20 and 30 kids, high school kids, over here to create cards.
During Christmas time or just anytime?
Anytime. Cards for Kids is a program in which the kids get to design a card and make a card, and then we send it to hospitalized children, and they pass them out to children in need. So it's a really cool program, and the kids, they eat that up.
So then within a year, how many times do we do that?
I do it 4 times a year.
Okay, so then
does that count as a program?
It would. Yeah. I think so.
I thought activities were things like the window art and the stuff on the tables.
That you're making things, that to me would be more activities.
Okay, that's
passive activities.
If it's something that's drawing a larger crowd and you're doing something that is not only within, you're giving it back to the community.
So the team game day?
That's a program.
That's what I... Okay.
And Daniel, so Matt's point, are those showing up on the calendar?
Right.
Team game day?
Yeah.
Card making?
Yeah. I absolutely agree.
I saw the fitting chew, so that
Yeah.
I have that up in our school.
Do you advertise?
She does, everywhere.
Yeah, she says to me, we put it on the desk in the front of the middle school.
Yes.
It's outside the library.
I
want to make sure.
But the fit and chill, do you just have high schoolers because they can walk over here? Do you have any middle school age children?
I had 2 middle school children the very first day.
Okay.
They may or may not have been mine and a friend, but...
See? No, honestly, because, like, with us, we have kids who want to do stuff. They do not have transportation. If they have to get picked up before 5 o'clock, they take the bus home.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we need to be able to... If we want to do good programming for kids, it's just really difficult. Our middle age group, the like 6th through 8th grade, are often having to watch younger ones.
Right, well that's true.
Yeah.
Or they just don't have transportation. So I once went to a conference and just talking about how we work with each other, like public schools and libraries, where we collaborate to do it in different places or spaces. You know what I mean? We don't always say it has to be done at the middle school because they hate being at the middle school too. It's like, it's so far. So I'm always like, let's do something at the public library. We can't get there. I'm like, there's no winning. I don't know how to help that middle group. High school is at least can drive, can
right,
walk over here.
Right.
We had a lot of everyone for the reptile program.
Right. Was it on the weekend?
On Saturday.
We get most of our programming numbers high is on when you do the family events. Mm-hmm. On
yes.
Saturday. That's when we see
on
the
Saturday
numbers.
When somebody can bring them.
Right.
But that depends too, because we found like a lot of our programming as far as like Lego Club and those kind of things, they end up dwindling because of the sports and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, those commitments mm-hmm. that families have mm-hmm. for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it's hard.
I can't find a
it's a hit or
a good moment, a good moment in time. I mean, it's a challenge.
Well,
so
I think you've done a good job, Janet.
Food.
What did she say? I say food.
That might be how I got
the adult coloring
because I do feed them.
That's how we have almost all every club. I just went to Aldi before I went home because.
Yep.
I have to buy food for every club. Avid Readers, there's food.
Yeah.
Comic Book Crew, there's food.
Here's one.
Cultural Awareness, there's food.
You got to advertise.
Chill and Color.
I do like the coloring.
Chill and Color. There's
but that to me is more like an activity. Just leave that
chill
out and
color.
Available to
and
them.
That's exactly what we did.
Yes.
We put, when they were doing exams across the street, we
yeah.
put out those adult coloring pages with a little container of
yes.
Colored pencils.
That
and,
may be a program that
you
just try to keep numbers like you keep numbers at the other thing, right? Just keep
yeah.
numbers of the kids who participate.
Yes.
That's a passive
and
activity that's just good to have.
Went to the middle school and put posters that went to the
yeah,
school.
I know because they were like, somebody from the library
and
came
and
with posters.
In the newsletter, in the school newsletter?
Yes.
Was in the newsletter.
Yes,
but
the newspaper.
You would literally have to be in a bear costume jumping up. The middle schoolers notice nothing. Like, they're a special group. They ignore everything. We email, we talk about it, and we post it. And they'll be like, when was that? So don't overdo yourself for middle schoolers, because...
Well, that's what I asked. I asked my daughter, I said, have you seen the posters up? She goes, no. I said, not one?
So
she goes, no.
They
I'm like,
they
all right.
Can we afford a bear costume?
We're working with the people who need the like the Statue of Liberty outside of Liberty for tickets. It's like, if they don't, it has to be so outlandish for them to notice you even did it. So
they're so into themselves.
I don't think
you
have
like,
to go overboard.
A lot of it is
of what she's
self-conscious.
Doing.
Yeah,
I think that what you're doing is good, and we just continue.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just what the community is, you know, those that want to come in,
yeah.
and then those that don't.
Keep
we promote
tag and what they're looking for.
And just keep that chill. That part they want, the same thing.
Yeah, the rainy
right.
nights are
keep
like...
the chill part. Not everybody want to be fit.
Your movie's never cool enough for
yeah.
that.
You know what I mean?
Well, and we make sure that we make the kids that come in feel friendly. I've met a ton of your stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
And just those interactions and the opportunity that we take to actually engage with them.
Well, if you come in after school, they're all in front of Jeanette. In front of you.
They love having somebody who listens to them. We didn't always have that. I'm going to say I've been here 12 years. Teens did not always feel, it was a shush zone. Like, they were shushed a lot.
Oh.
When we first moved here, because I've been working with the middle school and high school since the beginning, they'd be like, they're always like, shh, they're not nice over there at the library. It felt like they weren't like teens. They loved little kids and adults, but they didn't always feel, I don't hear kids say that anymore, but like, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I'm talking like when I first moved here, those first, and there was a different staff here then, and it did feel like this is a much more reserved space and you need to keep it, and I'm like, libraries today have to be welcoming to the kind of rambunctious
yes.
and the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be quiet. Trust
no.
me. I'm not
and I'm
library.
Probably the loudest one here.
Make them a library, too. Like, you're laughing loud. I thought this was a library.
But that's, you know, the Fit Chill is starting off.
Okay.
We're doing the best we can with it. but we're moving towards the goals that you've set for me.
Okay.
I have an idea for you and your older kids.
Okay.
Kind of on the idea of the mural that Cheryl's doing. Let the kids do one. Let them design it. Let them present it to the board.
I am trying so hard right now just to get them to draw on a window for me.
Yeah.
Well, I can't get any of them to do it.
Kids are doing the windows for this.
I got in on at Academy when I first started there, but it was Art Honor Society students. It wasn't just a general group of students. It was because the high school is painted all over by art. Those kids are serious about their art. That's something that lives past them, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not going to be your general kid, but the Art Honor Society, they did the one in the Academy that has, like, all over the high school, you'll see these most beautiful art students, but the general team, no. That's time.
Well, we're going to ask, we're asking the friends to pay for a green screen so that the teens during the summer can do a, what I'd suggest is have a contest, have them do a video marketing the library, having a contest with maybe four board members or staff members for a $50 gift card to Amazon for the winning video that we can use as a marketing piece.
Cool.
That's good, Amy.
I like that one. That's cool.
That's good. That's the kind of stuff that we're drawing. Finding what we can use them to get engaged with the contest.
And their technology.
They like that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Yep. Thank you.
Good.
All right. There's no need to go into executive session, so.
I have two things.
Oh, Russ has two things.
Sometime next month, after the new mayor takes up, Ryan, myself, and Susan need to contact the mayor and tell them whether you want to be reappointed.
Right. It's been a year already, new people.
Yeah.
I will be sending a note to Mayor Galinsky, thanking him for his past support, and a note to the future Mayor Purcell, inviting him to come over and have coffee with me here.
I think his first meeting is May 14th.
May 14th?
Yeah.
When does he get?
May 14th. Sometime before that. May 14th, probably.
May 14th is his.
Yeah. And your economic interest form needs to be submitted
by May 1st.
They will send me my second notice.
I always send it in person, and I get two more copies.
I didn't send it in the first one, so I thought they were scolding me.
That's all I got.
I'm shocked, as well as
at least
anything else? Just
thank you to Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
But I'd really rather give it to you. Do you like biscotti?
Oh, yes.
From Italy.
Oh.
Straight from Italy.
Not Costco?
Nope. I bought it in an open market in Florence, in Italy. I didn't bring the dessert wine that I bought from Italy.
I didn't know.